Blog Talk Radio.
Redeemed by love, who claimed it, redeemed by the blood of the
I want to read for you today a few pages out of the book Testimonies to Ministers and Gospel Workers. I'm reading from pages 506 through 512. The section is called Pray for the Latter Rain by Mrs. White. This passage was originally published in the Review and Herald on March 2nd, 1897. You can download it from the internet. It's right there on page 1 and 2. And I found it very interesting and revealing because there were things in this article that I've never heard before. We've all heard about the early rain or former rain was outpoured upon the disciples at the day of Pentecost. And we've heard that the latter rain will be poured out upon us just before Jesus comes. But there are things in this article that I have never heard before. And I wonder if you have. So the best way to get this across to people, because this does apply to us right now, is I thought I would just go ahead and read this for you. Pray for the latter rain. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. In the east, the former rain falls at the sowing time. It is necessary in order that the seed may germinate. Under the influence of the fertilizing showers, the tender shoots springs up. The latter rain, falling near the close of the season, ripens the grain and prepares it for the sickle. The Lord employs these operations of nature to represent the work of the Holy Spirit. As the dew and the rain are given first to cause the seed to germinate and then to ripen the harvest, so the Holy Spirit is given to carry forward from one stage to another the process of spiritual growth. The ripening of the grain represents the completion of work of God's grace in the soul. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the moral image of God is to be perfected in the character. We are to be wholly transformed into the likeness of Christ. The latter rain, ripening the earth's harvest, represents the spiritual grace that prepares the church for the coming of the Son of Man. But unless the former rain has fallen, there will be no life. The green blade will not have sprung up. Unless the early showers have done their work, the latter rain can bring no seed to perfection. There is to be first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. There must be a constant development of Christian virtue, a constant advancement in Christian experience. This we should seek with intensity of desire, that we may adorn the doctrine of Christ our Savior. Many have, in a great measure, failed to receive the former rain. They have not obtained all the benefits that God has thus provided for them. They expect that the lack will be supplied by the latter rain. When the richest abundance of grace shall be bestowed, they intend to open their hearts to receive it. They are making a terrible mistake. The work that God has begun in the human heart in giving His light and knowledge must be continually going forward. Every individual must realize his own necessity. The heart must be emptied of every defilement and cleansed for the indwelling of the Spirit. It was by the confession and forsaking of sin, by earnest prayer and consecration of themselves to God, that the early disciples prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The same work, only in a greater degree, must be done now. Then the human agent had only to ask for the blessing and wait for the Lord to perfect the work concerning him. It is God who began the work, and He will finish His work, making man complete in Jesus Christ. But there must be no neglect of the grace represented by the former rain. Only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It may be falling on hearts all around us, but we shall not discern or receive it. At no point in our experience can we dispense with the assistance of that which enables us to make the first start. The blessings received under the former rain are needful to us to the end. Yet, these alone will not suffice. While we cherish the blessing of the early rain, we must not, on the other hand, lose sight of the fact that without the latter rain to fill out the ears and ripen the grain, the harvest will not be ready for the sickle, and the labor of the sower will have been in vain. Divine grace is needed at the beginning, divine grace at every step of the advance, and divine grace alone can complete the work. There is no place for us to rest in a careless attitude. We must never forget the warnings of Christ. Watch unto prayer, watch and pray always. A connection with the divine agency every moment is essential to our progress. We may have had a measure of the Spirit of God, but by prayer and faith, we are continually to ask more of the Spirit. It will never do to cease our efforts. If we do not progress, if we do not place ourselves in an attitude to receive both the former and the latter rain, we shall lose our souls, and the responsibility will lie at our own door. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the latter rain. Do not rest satisfied that in the ordinary course of the season rain will fall. Ask for it. The growth and perfection of the seed rests not with the husbandman. God alone can ripen the harvest, but man's cooperation is required. God's work for us demands the action of our mind, the exercise of our faith. We must seek His favors with the whole heart if the showers of grace are to come to us. We should improve every opportunity of placing ourselves in the channel of blessing. Christ has said, "Where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in the midst." The convocations of the church, as in camp meetings, the assemblies of the home church, and all occasions where there is personal labor for souls are God's appointed opportunities for giving the early and the latter rain. But let none think that in attending these gatherings, their duty is done. A mere attendance upon all the meetings that are held will not in itself bring a blessing to the soul. It is not an immutable law that all who attend general gatherings or local meetings shall receive large supplies from heaven. The circumstances may seem to be favorable for a rich outpouring of the showers of grace, but God Himself must command the rain to fall. Therefore, we should not be remiss in supplication. We are not to trust to the ordinary working of providence. We must pray that God will unseal the fountain of the water of life, and we must ourselves receive of the living water. Let us, with contrite hearts, pray most earnestly that now, in the time of the latter rain, the showers of grace may fall upon us. At every meeting we attend, our prayers should ascend that at this very time, God will impart warmth and moisture to our souls. As we seek God for the Holy Spirit, it will work in us meekness, humbleness of mind, a conscious dependence upon God for the perfecting latter rain. If we pray for the blessing in faith, we shall receive it as God has promised. The continual communication of the Holy Spirit to the church is represented by the prophet Zechariah under another figure, which contains a wonderful lesson of encouragement for us. The prophet says, "The angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered, and spake to the angel that talked to me, saying, What are these, my lord? Then he answered and spake to me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I answered again, and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. From the two olive trees, the golden oil was emptied through the golden pipes into the bowl of the candlestick, and thence into the golden lamps that gave light to the sanctuary. So from the holy ones that stand in God's presence, His Spirit is imparted to human instrumentalities that are consecrated to His service. The mission of the two anointed ones is to communicate light and power to God's people. It is to receive blessing for us that they stand in God's presence. As the olive trees empty themselves into the golden pipes, so the heavenly messengers seek to communicate all that they receive from God. The whole heavenly treasure awaits our demand and reception. And as we receive the blessing, we, in our turn, are to impart it. Thus, it is that the holy lamps are fed and the church becomes a light bearer in the world. This is the work that the Lord would have every soul prepared to do at this time, when the four angels are holding the four winds that they should not blow until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. There is no time now for self-pleasing. The lamps of the soul must be trimmed. They must be supplied with the oil of grace. Every precaution must be taken to prevent spiritual declension, lest the great day of the Lord overtake us as a thief in the night. Every witness for God is now to work intelligently in the lines which God has appointed. We should daily obtain a deep and living experience in the word of perfecting Christian character. We should daily receive the holy oil that we may impart to others. All may be light bearers to the world if they will. We are to sink self out of sight in Jesus. We are to receive the word of the Lord in counsel, instruction, and gladly communicate it. There is now need of much prayer. Christ commands, pray without ceasing. That is, keep the mind uplifted to God, the source of all power and efficiency. We may have long followed the narrow path, but it is not safe to take this as proof that we shall follow it to the end. If we have walked with God in fellowship of the Spirit, it is because we have sought Him daily by faith. From the two olive trees, the golden oil flowing through the golden pipes has been communicated to us. But those who do not cultivate the spirit and habit of prayer cannot expect to receive the golden oil of goodness, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, love. Everyone is to keep himself separate from the world, which is full of iniquity. We are not to walk with God for a time and then part from His company and walk in the sparks of our own kindling. There must be a firm continuance, a perseverance in acts of faith. We are to praise God to show forth His glory in a righteous character. No one of us will gain the victory without persevering, untiring effort proportionate to the value of the object which we seek, even eternal life. The dispensation in which we are now living is to be, to those that ask, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Ask for His blessing. It is time we were more intense in our devotion. To us is committed the arduous but happy, glorious work of revealing Christ to those who are in darkness. We are called to proclaim the special truths for this time. For all, this outpouring of the Spirit is essential. We should pray for it. The Lord expects us to ask Him. We have not been wholehearted in this work. What can I say to my brethren in the name of the Lord? What proportion of our efforts has been made in accordance with the light that the Lord has been pleased to give? We cannot depend upon form or external machinery. What we need is the quickening influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Pray without ceasing, and watch by working in accordance with your prayers. As you pray, believe, trust in God. It is the time of the latter rain when the Lord will give largely of His Spirit. Be fervent in prayer and watch in the Spirit.
All right. Good evening, my dear brothers and sisters. I must say, happy Sabbath some places. We are here once more to give God thanks and praise. So we are going to go into a word of prayer, my beloved. Kind and loving Father, we want to give you thanks and praises for the blessings of the day, the Sabbath, dear Lord. Some of us have it the Sabbath, and some now it's just soon come in, fall in place. But we gather at your feet to give you the praise, and we ask you to pour your blessings upon us, dear Lord, as we have listening to the reading, the latter rain. And we know, dear Father, we need the latter rain, the Holy Spirit present, and we have to pray for it. We have to read His word, and we have to believe that He is able to give us, to fall upon us, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we just want to thank you, dear Father, for all these wonderful promises. And as we join here on Advent, Sabbath, rest night, Lord, we ask you to keep us and to guide us and to allow each one of us that we will share. I just want to give thanks and praise for us. We have traveling mercies, for protection, for providing. You are so good. You are so great. So I just want to give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, my dear sister, brothers and sister, welcome once more on the Sabbath rest, right? Our holy Sabbath day. God is so good. He is so great. So we are going to start open. We are asking our brothers and sisters, if they want to share, press 1 so that their line will be open. I'm opening this, my sister. She will present her song, her readings, a scripture reading, and also a prayer, Sister Barnaby. So 518-650. Your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Sir Powell, thank you for opening my line. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, New York. Holy Sabbath day of rest, by your master richly blessed, God created and divine, set aside for holy time. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by your God divinely blessed, He to us a sign shall be throughout all eternity. Seek not pleasures of this earth, with its folly, noise, and mirth. There are better things in store over on the other shore. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by your God divinely blessed. It to us a sign shall be throughout all eternity. As the Sabbath draweth on, Friday eve at set of sun, Christian whose souls then should meet, sing and pray at Jesus' feet. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by your God divinely blessed, it to us a sign shall be throughout all eternity. Asking him for saving grace, also victory in the race, and to help us by his power to keep holy every hour. Yes, the holy Sabbath rest, by your God divinely blessed, it to us a sign shall be throughout all eternity. And I'm going to read Exodus 20, verses 8 to 12.
Amen, amen.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Holy Sabbath day of rest, by our God divinely blessed, God created and divine, set aside for holy time. Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy Sabbath day, O God, so that we can come together to worship you, to magnify you, to lift you up, and to give you thanks for your many, many blessings. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for everything, dear God. Thank you from we were born until now. We just want to give you thanks, and we just want to give you praise, because you are worthy to be praised from the uprising of the sun until the going down. Heavenly Father, please help us, O God, to take our mind of the things of this world and everything in this world, O God, and help us to focus our mind on you, the living and the true God. Lord, we are asking you to anoint us. Touch our body, O God. Heal us from every stain of sin. Take away every unrighteousness from us, O God. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness and make us into what you want us to be. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to be with this prayer line in a special way. And all those who come on this prayer line, those who take part and those who listen in the background, dear God, I'm asking to send your Holy Spirit to tabernacle with each and every one of us. Beat back everything that is unlike you from around us, oh God. And help us to come closer and closer to you, Lord. We need you, God, in this time where there's no, look like everything is just going upside down. But Jesus, help us to put our trust in you, God, and to depend on you, Lord, and to live a life pleasing in your eyes. God, be with our families, oh God, put them before you, Lord. We are asking you, dear Father, to have your way, to take full control, to let your will be done, dear God. Be with our children, our grandchildren, our brothers, our sisters, each and every family that we have, Jesus. And Lord, be with each and every mother, every father, every child, every family all over the world in diverse places, because, Lord, each and every one is struggling. Each and every everyone is going through the same thing. But, oh, God, help us to call upon you, dear God. Because you said to call upon you in the day of trouble. And you will hear us, oh, God. You will answer us. And you will open doors for us that we think not. Oh, God, mold us and fashion us into your likeness. Oh, God, beat back every unrighteousness. Beat back everything from around us that is unlike you, dear God. And send your holy angel to encamp round about us. Go in every crevice and every corner of our home and touch and heal and rebuke and remove and destroy, oh God, everything that is unlike you, Lord. And just set your name on our doorposts. Oh God, continue to bless us. Continue to guide us, Lord. Continue to lead us into the path of righteousness, dear Father. Father, you said to ask, and we will receive. We knock, and the door will be open, oh God. Jesus, call upon you, Lord, and you will hear us. Lord, we are calling upon you because we need you, dear God, and we are in trouble. We are in trouble. Sin is taking over the world, oh God. This world that you have built, you have made, and fashioned your people and put them on this earth, oh God. Each and every one of us is for a purpose, oh God. But because of sin, Lord, we cannot fulfill our promise and we cannot do what we have to do. But, oh God, help us, Jesus. Please, Lord, please have mercy upon us according to your righteousness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercy, oh God. Break us, melt us, mold us and fill us, oh God. Take over, Lord. Have your way in our life. Let your will be done. Oh God, I ask you to step into each and every one of the hospitals this evening, each and every one of the nursing homes, oh God. Be with each and every one of the sick patients. Lord, be with the doctors, be with the nurses, oh God. Help them to have patience and to cope, oh God, and to do their best, because, Lord, everything we do is only our best good enough. Lord, help us to do all what we can do without murmuring and disputing. And, Lord, to do what you would do, Jesus. Continue to help us, oh God, to walk in your truth and walk in your love and walk in your righteousness. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised from the uprising of the sun and to the going down. Your name is forever, Jesus, and it cannot be changed. And whatever you do, it is well done. Whatever you say, it is well said. Oh, Lord, continue. You take your world in charge, oh God. Be with each and every one of the pastors all over the world. Father, give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, oh God. Commission them to do and help them to live a life so that others can look on them and see you working through them. Lord, continue to bless this line again and again. And I put each and every one of us on this line before you this evening, dear God, this holy Sabbath evening. Take full control of us, dear God. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness. Make us into what you want us to be. Lord, never leave us, never forsake us. Always be near us to hear us when we cry, because we always cry, dear God. Each and every one of us have our different crying. But, Lord, you hear and you know. And your answer, take over. Take over, Lord. Be with the speaker who is going to break the bread tonight. Let the words that the speaker speak, not from his mouth, but coming from your throne. Father, take over. Let your will be done. In the name of the Father, Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit, I pray and I give you thanks. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Thank you, my dear Sister Barnaby, for the song, opening song, and also the scripture passage, Exodus 28 to 11, also prayer for all of us. That's what the Lord said. We have to. That is our work that the Holy Spirit will place upon us, that we pray for all our brothers and sisters. So thank you again. And as we know, that is Sabbath. How important the Sabbath is to us, that God said in Exodus 28:12, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. As my dear sister have read this scripture, and it said the Sabbath commandment that she, my sister just read, is a part of the moral law of the Ten Commandments. And we saw that the Apostle John tells us that if we break any part of this law, we have broken it all. So we can break one part, a little part, and say we are following the Lord. So if we break one, and we find that in James 2:10-12, we cannot tear out the fourth commandment without setting aside all the others as well. They all stand together because God of heaven put them together, my sisters on the land, brothers on the land. So God put the old Ten Commandments together, and there is no way, you know, we can take out one or do nine and don't worry with the other one, that one, or take out two, and so we're going to be a Sabbath keeper and we are worshiping only eight commandments. So we are thankful that God has shown us in his reading, in his prophecy, how we are supposed to take this Ten Commandments that he have given unto us very, very serious. So I just want to thank my sister for doing the reading. And brothers and sisters, happy Sabbath, everyone. Our visiting friends on the line, we are asking you that you can press number one if you want to share a Sabbath song, a reading, your favorite scripture. You know, we are asking you to press number one so that we can give God the praise tonight because he is worthy to be praised. So press number one, sisters and brothers, so that we can share, right? So I'm going to open this line. Yes. 815-386.
Yes. Sister Payne.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Sister Payne wants to speak. Oh, thank you. Could I say happy Sabbath?
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. And thank God that I made it in time. Praise God. My song this evening is Safely Through Another Week. Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, waiting in his courts today. Day of all, the week the best, an emblem of eternal rest. Day of all, the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. I'm breaking it down. When the morn shall bid arise, may we feel thy present near, may thy glory meet our eyes, when we in thy house appear. Here afford us, Lord, a taste of forever lasting feast. Here afford us, Lord, a taste of forever lasting peace. May the gospel joyful sound conquer sinners, comfort saints, make the fruit of grace abound, bring relief to all complaints. Thus may all our Sabbath be, till we rise or reign with thee. Thus may all our Sabbath be, till we rise or reign with thee. Thank you, Lord. I pray, O God, that all our Sabbaths may be just like this one. When we reach into heaven, may you find us obeying all your will, for if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all. Praise God. So I'm thanking God for being here this evening. Happy Sabbath. And it was only the grace of God that brought me through to be alive in such a time as this. And so what I can say to myself is I must keep
my heart in heaven. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, I will be in perfect peace. And I'm saying I must keep on the straight path. I must ask the Lord each day and night, minutes, hour, pray without ceasing. I must read his word, settle up my heart in Jesus. Change my heart, O Lord. Consecrate it to thy service, O Lord. And so I thank you, Lord, for such rich blessing this evening with all these sisters and brothers, especially the lady who read the first portion when I came. Lord, these are medicines for me. I know, God, I'm so spiritually, physically sick. And I thank you for all these spiritual medication. And, Lord, I'm depending upon you. I plead the blood, and I'm not fully perfect, but I know you're not finished working with me yet. And I'm depending on you, Lord, to bring me clear throughout that you can see your image in me. That's what I'm trying, oh, Lord. I'm not perfect, but I want, you say, we must be perfect like your Father, which is in heaven. So I depend upon your perfectness, and I have to do the part that I should do. Continue to be with me and my brethren, and I thank God for everyone here in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, my dear Sister Payne. We welcome Advent Light again. Glad you participating. We thank you for your song, Safely Through Another Week. And we all give God thanks because he carry us safely through another week. Some of us have it difficult, but God had carried us through. So we have to give God thanks. And also your prayer and encouraging word for each one of us there. And you know what? Each one of us need these promises that God have given unto us, that we must pray without ceasing, right? And this is where we get the blessing. This is where we get our food of thought, food from the heavenly Father above, when we pray continually, read his word continually, as we were hearing a while ago, the quote with the latter rain. And the latter rain is the Holy Spirit, right? And we know that, you know, without the Holy Spirit, we can do anything. So we just want to thank you, my dear sister, for coming on this line. And you know that you're a sister on this line. You know, we are blessed. So we just want to let you know that all of us are praying for you. And despite of what is happening, you know, God is able to do all things because we are the light bearer for him. So I just want to thank you, my dear sister, for sharing. And you will hear, get to know more of your sister more and more each day. You will hear, because each one share their and give their name, you know, so you know that you are no stranger to each and every one of us on this line. So thank you again, my dear sister. Okay, 985-232, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Good evening, sisters and brothers.
Amen.
This is Sister Brenda. Calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for his goodness and mercy that brought us through this week so far, and the blessings, and I thank him for just giving us the breath to breathe. And I just want to read a prayer. Lord, of all things, we surrender our soul to thee. Grant us passage in thy almighty kingdom as we submit ourselves to your ultimate power. We are as a lamb, but naked in your light. Awaken your compassion. Allow us to follow meek as we worthy to be praised. It's never, some people say they call the Lord too much. I say never too much. You're calling the right person. So don't never think you're calling him too much. I said, because that's the right one to call. Who else you want to call? There's no other you want to call but the Lord. I said, because, you know, some people don't even use it once a day. And, I mean, it's a shame, especially adults that know, you know, that he supplies all they need. Those that, know that they're blessed. You know, things are coming up. We just bless. And you ought to just say, thank you, Lord. You gave your only begotten son, and you're not going to, no average person go give up their son, no matter how she is or he are. You know, we're not going to give up our son. So God gave up his only begotten son. So we just say, thank you, Lord, for being so good to us and being at our beck and call. So I just want to say thank you, Lord, and I'm always on task. I know that I will say a prayer no matter where I'm at, even if I'm sitting in the little room. That's my best. I'm going to say a prayer, you know, and that's just what I do. So God is too good not to say a prayer, not where he brought us from. So I thank God, and I just want to give for us to pray for Ben Light and all the project and all the other ministers involved projects, and thanks all the help we have and all of them that started this Advent Light Ministry for about 4 or 5 years ago, whatever, however long I've been on. I mean, it's been a while now, but thank God we're still rolling, and it's been wonderful. You know, the Lord has been keeping us and dropping members and still members coming and the old jump back on, but still, we have missing members, but we're still going strong. But we pray for one another and ask God to help the sick, the homeless, and all the board. Amen. And happy Sabbath.
Amen. Happy Sabbath.
That is Brother John speaking tonight.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, sister. To Brenda and Brother John, despite he's not speaking, but we just want to thank you for your testimony and your prayer. God is so good. And you know what, Sister Brenda, I tell you, it looked like 5 years. It looked like it's just yesterday. But thank God that God have kept you on the line, and you are growing daily by studying his word, sharing his word to others. And now you are giving praise to God. So God is so good. And brothers and sisters, we just have to trust him. He said if we trust him, you know, he will be with us. He will be keeping us. And he will protect us from all things. So we just want to thank you, Sister Brenda, for sharing. All right. I saw Brother Eli sharing. God is so good. Let I open this line up. Okay. It's open already. Yes, brothers and sisters, just be patient a little. Open this line. Okay, 240-988. Your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Howdy do. Happy Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom. Feliz Sabato. This is Stephanie. I'm Steffi. I'm calling from the Maryland D.C., Virginia area, and I am just so elated, beloved, to know that we can't beat what God has in store for us, right? Last night, I shared with you all the little fiery darts that I was going through as it pertains to my job and, you know, not getting paid, even though I have the lead time, you know, but they claim they're playing hardball. But God is so good. So yesterday I told you, I said, you know, I saw that it was approved. Y'all ready for this? Today, everything was there already for me to get my payment. She went back and backdated all of the days that, you know, the admin was, you know, putting me on leave without unauthorized leave. God has worked it out, beloved. And I knew he was, you know, I didn't have any fear, you know, that I was going through my Jacob moment with God, and I'm like, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm contending with you. I'm hanging on to the hem of the garment. But this was, though it was uncomfortable, right, there is light at the end of this. And so when I went in there today just to check, she went in and she paid and backdate all those other days that he had rejected and refused to pay me. And so, beloved, I'm telling you, we serve an awesome, a faithful, a gracious God that there, our minds can't even conceive the things that he can do and the things that he has in store, right, for us. Because had I caved and do what they wanted me to do, then God would not be able to do, right, to be able to prove himself in this lesson that he has in store for me. So, beloved, that is my prayer, my praise report, and I want you to continue to pray for me that I am obedient and I hold fast to what God has told me to do and the direction that he has given me. So thank you so much, Sister Powell, for opening my line, and thank you all for your prayers, because I know that it says, this is James 15:16, when we confess our sin, And the righteous, the effectual prayer of the fervent, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, right? And so I know that you all have been praying on my behalf, and God certainly blessed and answered all of your prayers. And I am elated that my faith is strengthened to see what God has done for me. And I know he could do it for you too as well. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Stephanie, for that praise report. As the Lord said, I hear all your heart is merry. As the Lord said in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bone. And you know what? They think your bone would be dried up of what the evil man out there want to do. And we know it's the devil. But God is there. And as you have given your praise report, brothers and sisters, we know that, you know, we have a lot of praise report to give. It may sound, you know, simple or light, but when God do something for us, we have to hear and give thanks. So sure, we will be praying for you continually, and we thank God for the report, you know. As the case, you said you was in trial. But you know what? God was the judge, right? And he had done his work. So we just have to, you know, give him all the praise that due to him. God is so good. He is so great. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to press number one that I can open your line, that you can give your praises, right? You know, I'm asking all my brothers and sisters there on the line who would like to share, if you could press number one that I can open. Okay. Thank you. 423-635. Your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, hi,
amen.
Good evening, Mr. Powell. This is Sister Carla. Thank you for hosting. I just thank the Lord for you and each and every one of my brothers and sisters. And I want to say Feliz Sabador. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. God is truly good, and he is worthy to be praised. The word that we have can't even amongst to the praises that belong unto our Lord, our Savior, our King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's I remember he showed Moses his good, when Moses asked him to see his face, he showed him his backside, his all his character, his attributes. And none of us, you know, we have to strive to have those character, but I don't know who of us would have those character. We might have it, you know, for a little while, and then we'll get angry, or we'll get short temper or impatient, but may the Lord help us to be like him. And I just want to share my testimony. As yesterday, I went to the laundromat to wash my comforter and things, and I was talking to the man, that older gentleman that worked there, and encouraging him, and I saw an area to play some tracks, so I put some little globe tracks up, and as I was attempting to start the large machine, it wouldn't start, so he wasn't sure what to do, and he called the owner, and he wasn't too far away, and he came right away, and he pounded with an instrument so the quarters can drop out, and it can, you know, I can put it back in and start, and, you know, lo and behold, it started, and I was like, praise the Lord, and I was like, sir, this was appointed by God, and I had a steps to Christ in my hand, and I said, I think the Lord for you to come, for us to meet, so I can give you this book. So I just thank the Lord for every opportunity I get to share. And as I share, I try to share with gladness, with joy in my heart. Just that same day earlier, too, as I went to Walmart, early, as soon as they opened, I was sharing with the greeter. I said, Jesus is soon to come, and I gave him a track, and also some of the employee, I think it was a manager or someone, I'm not sure his title, and I said, Jesus is coming soon. We have to get prepared. And, again, I had a glow card ready in my hand to share with them. So I just thank the Lord for his goodness, his mercy, and I just want to share Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. It says, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. So wait patiently for the Lord, brothers and sisters. Do not give up. Be encouraged. Be faithful. We're going to have trials. We're going to have ups and downs, but this is to try us, to, you know, draw us closer to the Lord, to depend upon him. So please keep me in prayer, unspoken prayer requests. I said, Lord, you didn't bring me this far for these things to happen. You know that these hiccups will be going on. You know these trials will be going on, but I trust in you that you're going to work it out. You know, as the guy was working on something at the house, and I, you know, he kept saying, sorry, he didn't know. I said, it's okay. It's okay. He's like, wow, you know, your attitude towards this is a testimony to me, because, you know, I wasn't fretful. I wasn't angry or upset. I just said, God will, you know, to myself, or I think I told him, God will provide. He knew this was going to happen, and everything is going to work out, and I'm not going to stress, because he's going to make a way out of nowhere. I just have to be faithful and trust in him and still praise him each and every day and every moment I get. Again, thank you, Sister Powell, for opening up my line. Amen. Thank you. God bless.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Carla. Despite of this, there's a problem, you know, you take it easy. And that is the only way we can do. Trust God. Because God said, if you trust him, he's faithful and just to hear you. So, you know, the enemy was trying, but, you know, you have the faith in God to trust. And we just want to give God thanks. You know, this is how we are supposed to be living our life right now, my dear sisters and brother on this land. Despite of what the situation is, you know, we give it to God. And God promised that he will take care of us. So I just want to thank my dear sister, and just keep the faith, my dear, trusting him. We have saw what God have been doing for you as a one individual. You know, God is so good. So your testimony is good, and also the sharing of the track, and you know what? And the word, the message have been going out. So we all have to, you know, do the will of God right now, because this is the only time we find the opportunity to go out and be the light bearers for God. So I just want to thank you, my dear sister, for sharing. Right, open this one line. 857505, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you call from?
Yeah, hello, Sister Power. Hello, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath to all of you. My name's Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts, Sister Power. Sister Power, first of all, I'd like to thank God, because God is good. He's worthy to be praised, brothers and sisters. I have a prayer request, Sister Power. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mom. Lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Power. Sister Powell, don't forget to pray for Brother Jahari. Lift up Brother Jahari in prayer. Sister Powell, don't forget to pray for Sister Isenia. Lift up Sister Isenia in prayer. Pray for Katiana. Lift up Sister Katiana. Pray for Brother Isma. Sister Powell, I have another prayer request. Last night, I tell you about yesterday, about Javella was being rude to me. Please pray for Javel, Paul. Pray for Javel, Sister Paul. J-A-V-E-L. Pray for Brother Javel, Sister Paul, because Sister Paul, he makes me sad yesterday. And Sister Paul, I'm a little bit down at the moment. But Sister Paul, I'm asking to brothers and sisters to pray for Brother Javel, because he needs a lot of prayer at this moment, Sister Paul. Because you know why, Sister Paul? Is the enemy, Sister Power, is the enemy trying to attack Javel at this moment. But Sister Power, I'm asking you to pray for Javel at this time. And Sister Power, tell brothers and sisters to please encourage me on this Advent Light ministry, because Sister Power, Javel was being rude to me. Sister Power, Javel was being rude to me. So please, Sister Power, please pray for me at this moment, because Javel was being mean to me, Sister Power. His name is Javel, J-A-V-E-L. Sister Power, he was calling me name calling. But Sister Power, I'm asking for Sister Stephanie to pray for him at this moment. Sister Power, can you tell Sister Stephanie to pray for him at this moment? And can you tell brothers and sisters to encourage me? Thank you.
Okay, Brother Eli. Okay. Brothers and sisters, that's all. Brother Eli is down now. His friend Javel had been, you know, calling him names, right? So he is asking us to pray for him. And he asked Sister Stephanie to pray for him. But we asking our brothers and sisters, Sister Carla, and all those here, just for a word of prayer on behalf of Brother Eli. We know that his heart is broken at this time, but you know what? This is the time that the Lord is just working, and Brother Eli, trust God. God is able to do all things. I'm opening the line for 225. No. 225-337.
Yes. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we come to thee on another Sabbath day, Father, to thank you, to praise you, to give glory to you, Father. We thank you for your Sabbath. Now, Lord, as Brother Eli requests a prayer, Lord, Father, for Brother Javel, Lord, we see Brother Eli is sad. And, Father, you tell us to bear one another's burden. So, Lord, our heart goes out to Brother Eli right now, Lord Father. So we ask that you would touch his heart and allow him to know that Jesus said, if he didn't go away, you know, he couldn't send the comforter. But the comforter have come in this world to reprove us, to help us. So, Lord, as Brother Eli is in hurt, Father, give him thine Holy Spirit and let him know, Lord Father, that doesn't matter if no one loved you, but God loved you. So, Father, we lift him up to you tonight. We ask that you, Lord God, to continue to allow him to show JaVale and Jahari and all these friends he have. Let him continue to show the love like Christ did. All those that hurt Christ, crucified him, spit on him, slap him, and beat him, and did all these things to him. Lord, Father, he didn't open his mouth, not a mumbling word, Father. So we just pray to lift Brother Eli up to you, Lord, Father. We know he have a love and a sincere heart. And, Father, sometimes he gets sad. So, Father, we offer this prayer for him, Lord, asking that you help him and give him the strength. Lord, Father, we ask that you lead him, Lord, and, Lord, to what to say to his friends. And Father, we also pray for his mother. We pray for all the friends, the house that housed his friends. Lord, we lift them up to you and help them to be nice to one another, to love one another, because that is the commandment. The Bible says the two greatest commandments, to love God with all your heart. And the second is likened unto the first, that we shall love our neighbor. So, Father, if they don't show love, let Brother Eli continue in his love, Lord, to give it to them, Lord, because one day they're going to realize how much love that Jesus poured out on them, and he was continue to have mercy on them for their criticism and their meanness, Lord. So, Father, help them. Help them, Lord. They need you. We all need you, Father. So, Lord, as I want to give praise to you, Father, for Sister Stephanie. Oh, Lord God, we've been praying for Sister Stephanie and Sister Nicole. Lord, we have heard a blessing tonight, a praise tonight that your daughter have come and testified of your goodness. And Lord, how many more can testify? Lord, I can testify tonight. Sister Carla testified. Sister Power, I heard. Sister Burnaby, Lord. Oh, all the brothers and sisters testifying of your goodness, Lord. We all have a testimony because we all are living. We have made it through another Sabbath day. So, Father, that is a testimony of itself. So, Father, we thank you tonight for blessing each and every one of us to come to another Sabbath day. Oh, Father, help us, Lord, as we go into the study tonight. We pray for the speaker tonight also, Father. May you bless him and pour out your spirit upon him tonight, Lord, that he may give the word to us. And, Lord, that this word touch our heart and that we see what is coming for us. This spiritual blessing we get tonight, Lord, open up our eyes that we may see that Jesus loves us unconditionally. Oh, Father, thank you for these blessings. Thank you, Father, for the prayer line. Thank you for Sister Power Host. Thank you for Sister Carla. Thank you for the brothers and sisters. Lord, thank you for the different prayer lines and that all of us are now in session with Christ teaching. We are at his feet learning. Now, Lord, thank you and bless us on this prayer line tonight. Lord, even my sisters I have met that we meet, Lord, Father, Sister Lynn, Sister Payne, and Sister Tamika, Lord, Sister Richardson, Sister Powell, we on that prayer line praying for our brothers and sisters on this prayer line. We lift them up, Lord, to you and ask that the Lord continue to strengthen them and lead and guide them and bless them throughout the week with safe traveling mercy. So, Father, as I close my prayer, Lord, I'm asking that you be with me and my husband. Lord, I want to thank you Bless us and give us safe traveling mercy, Lord, as we get up Sunday morning, Father. Lord, I want to just say thank you for what you have done for us today, Lord. Many times we've been calling for an auto trailer to put that car on. And, Lord, I didn't even call Wednesday. And I looked Thursday night at my phone, and I told my husband, I said, honey, they have two. Somebody done reserved two trailers for us for $160. And I'm like, Lord, thank you. And I'm telling you, Lord, thank you so much, because the people want to charge us $500, $300 just for a trailer, Lord. You've been good to us. So we thank you for all your blessings. Continue to be with us tonight, Lord. Oh, in your son Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Leola, for prayer. Yes, brothers and sisters, if you want to share, can you press number one that I can open your line? 857, your line is open.
Sister Power, I ready, Sister already.
Okay.
Sister Power.
Sorry, brother.
Thank you. Okay, brother Eli.
Okay. Sorry, brother Eli. All right. We're asking our brothers and sisters to press number one. If you want to share a testimony, a praise report, reading the scripture, telling us what God have done for you, you can press one that I can open your line. All right? We are going to open the line, asking Sister Carla to lead us in prayer. No one press. Okay, 423-635, your line is open. All right, let her open this line. Okay.
Yes, can you hear me?
All right, Sister Carla, just hold on a little bit for me. Let her open this line. I'm asking you to lead us in prayer, so I'm just going to open a line just. Okay. 240, your line is open.
Yes, it's up again, beloved. As I heard Sister Leola give that powerful prayer, I also just wanted to add, I didn't even remember, how God says that he's going to pour out extra blessing on his people, right? And so I told you that, you know, I got the back payment. However, additionally, I have Aflac. And it's another supplement, and I have had it for over a decade, never used it before. And so one of my girlfriends said, you need to call them. So I called them, and I will be getting some funds from them as well while being out, right? So God is, and the lady said, she said, you have never used it. You have had it for over 10 years. And so what we're going to do, we're going to allow you to retro back to 2012. So I will be getting some funds all the way back from 2012 up to now. Won't God do it for his people? He said that if he take care of the what? The lily of the valley? The sparrow? What more would he do to his beloved children? We cannot beat God. But we have to go through the fire. We have to go through the storm. And we have to be able to know that we can stand on God's promises. Stand that he will never allow his righteous to be forsaken or his seed beg for bread. That's beautiful, beloved. So I just wanted to share that as I heard Sister Leola praying, God has poured out so many blessings, right? And the trials too, right? Because the trial is working in us, you know, disciplining us so that we will be able to stand, you know, in this time that is coming up on us. All right, so I just wanted to share that as I heard that powerful prayer.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you for sharing, my dear sister. Okay? Okay, a line is here. Oh, boy. Okay, thank you, my dear sister, for actually sharing. God is good. He knows everything, and he knows what we need. So we just want to give God thanks for everything. asking my brothers and sisters if you want to share. Can you press number one when the line is going on and off? I don't know what is happening here.
It's a pain. It's
okay.
Just a pain.
818-518. Your line is open.
Yes. Sorry to come back on the line, but I have a praise I want to give. I was in, when I had my strokes, the last strokes, I was in the, my husband just died, and when he died, and I bury him, I couldn't even get to move. I break my ankle, so now and I'm start vomiting, so I'm in the hospital now. And I'm in the hospital, and I'm getting worse and worse. And so they put me over by the nursing home. So I was there for a month. And to cut a long story short, that month that I was there, I was being tormented because when everything, when you set up a sinus, when you sum up everything, that I had to go to live in. And so the lady who take care of that part of the business, you know, she come every day and she torment me every day for that month. Oh, Mrs. Payne, I really don't get a place for you for that money that you have, you know, and I don't know what's going to happen to you. And for the whole month, every morning, I can expect her coming. The Lord, the devil, they put her there to torment me on top of my sorrow. I couldn't mourn. I'm sick. I'm vomiting. My foot break. No friend, no brethren, nobody. And this lady is coming every day, and I can expect her. And I was there, and I find a peace. I don't know why. I find a peace, and all what you're saying, I'm just not swallowing. And so when she get up to go, all the time she would say, and Mrs. Payne, tomorrow is like she would say, you have 9 days now to get a place. And I said, but my foot break, and I'm vomiting, and I'm a weak person, and it is winter. I cannot go there to look a place. No. So I had my stuff into some storage and something. And so she keep coming on till it come down to the Friday, the last day is tomorrow, Sabbath. So she come now the last day, Friday, and she sit on my bed and she say, Mrs. Payne, tomorrow we're going to let you go, you know, and we don't have nowhere, we don't get nowhere for you. I know you're going to go out tomorrow. So what are you going to do? I look at her and I say, well, if you want to put me in the snow out there, and if you want to let me go out there and with the break foot and the snow, I can't walk, I'm sick, I'm weak, and I can't go look no place. So I say, if you want to let me go out there, then you do that. And I still had that peace. For the whole month, I still had that peace. Before I've been talking to the Lord. I've been talking to my father, for he becomes my husband now. And so the last day was Friday. And my business spread all over the nursing home. Everybody know my business. As I'm coming, everybody's smiling. And I'm in a shame. And you know what happened? My friend, a Sunday church lady from a far place, called me. She said, Sister Payne, you know, I said, Sister Payne, you know what? You get yourself ready and go and sit in the front of the nursing home. I'm going to drive my car from there, and you must be ready when I come to just pick you up. And she don't tell me nothing. So I sit down there. But I find myself not very overwhelmed. Sarah. So I sit there waiting, and she came, and she said, come on in, we'll go in the car. And she drove me to a far place. And so when we're coming into the place, she said to me, stand up right there, sister, let me park the car. I see a lady coming out of this building, and she run on. This lady don't know me neither, but it was her friend, the lady who brought me. It was her friend. And the friend came, and she hugged me. And I start crying. I said, somebody like me. I said, you like me, you hug me. I was crying. I said, thank you, Lord, somebody like me. And the lady came and said, come, my darling. And she carried me into her office. And she said, have a seat. And she said, she's the lady now that this friend signed. She said, she grew up with this lady, but she moved out and never remember. And she was in her prior meeting in her Sunday church and just stand up and just say, I have a good friend and she's in a danger right now. She needs help. Do anyone out here know where I can get a reasonable place for her to match her social that you can get it to have a place to rent? And one lady in the prior meeting stand up and say, I know a place. And she said they talk when they talk, and then after that she came right rushing and she take me up and she brought me to the place to cut the long story. And when she brought me, the lady came me in the office, and she take all my information, and when she reached at the social, she look at me and say, you know, it's very small, but I noticed she wasn't complaining. She said, okay. And she take it and she do all my farm, and then she said, turn to me and look at me and say, and here is the key to the house. So I said to her, I have a house? Yes. And so she said, come, let me carry and show you. And she brought me in this same house that I'm sitting in now. And she said, yes, this is going to be where you're going to be living. And when I opened the door, this was a little house that just enough for me. It was It was just painted white. Everything was white and clean. And I started crying and I said, let me talk to somebody first. And I'm telling God, oh, you can work miracle. You're a miracle working God. Nobody was for me. Nobody. And you were working on the scene, behind the scene for me. And right at the Sabbath, tomorrow is Sabbath, you brought me a gift. Here I am. I have a place. But Walmart. God good?
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 Thank you, my dear sister, for sharing. Yes. God is so good. This is a testimony. There is nothing too hard that our God cannot do for us. We only have to be faithful to him, right, and obedient. Thank you, my dear Sister Payne, for sharing. Yes, brothers and sisters, I just want to thank you all. Happy Sabbath. And we are going into a word of prayer now. We're going to open the line for Sister Carla to lead us in prayer. 423-635, your line is open.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. Yes, that was a beautiful testimony. Brought
amen.
A smile to my face knowing that the Lord is good and he answer our prayer. He answer our call. He knows our needs. So let us pray, brothers and sisters. Kind and loving Father, we want to talk to you this evening and tell you how much we love you, Lord. How much, oh, Father, that we want to serve you with all our hearts, our soul, our mind. Help us to be obedient, oh, Lord. Help us to trust you. Help us to forsake all our evil and wicked ways that we might serve you all the days of our life, Lord. Doesn't matter what age we are, what situation, what nationality, Lord. You love us with an everlasting love because you have made us for your glory. Lord, I thank you for all the praise report, Father, in the name of Jesus, as everyone testified your goodness and glorify you and praise you, O Lord. Only good things come from you, O Lord, but we know that trials come to prune us, to prove our and show us our ways so that we can change, oh, Father, so that we can be renewed, Father. I thank you also for Sister Stephanie and her testimony, knowing that God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Try me and see, said the Lord. Father, this day we come asking you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins or trespasses, Lord. Hear our cry. Hear our prayer. Our quiet, secret prayer, oh, Father, for you to work out situation within our life, within our home, our children, oh, Father, heal them and cover them under your precious blood, oh, Father. We pray that they will accept you as their personal Savior. Also, those that have grandchildren, Lord, bless them. Put a hedge of protection around them in the mighty name of Jesus. Cover them under your blood, O Lord. Help us to say, O Father, even today, Sabbath preparation day, you like to bless us, Lord. Give us our prayer requests, O Father, our heart's requests, O Father, and the little things, O Father. I just get so joyful. And Sister Sophia told me she just loved the way I praise the Lord. Every minute I get excited and thanking Jesus and talking to him. And that's what you want us to do, O Father, as we talk to our earthly parents and our family and friends and laugh and talk the same thing you want us to do with you. Because you are a God of the living, not of the dead, O Father. And we praise you, Lord. We ask that you will be with those that are sick among us, that you will heal them, Father, their infirmity, those that are going through emotional ups and downs, Lord, those that are in distress, oh, Father, don't know where to turn. If they will call upon you while you are near, Father, you will answer them before they finish speaking, Father. You have provided, Lord, everything for us, and we just need to ask and have faith, Lord. And I just thank you, ask that you will bless the speaker in the Mark way. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Speak through him, O Lord. Protect and guide him, O Father, in the name of Jesus, as you said in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Lord, we call ourselves the just. Help us to live by, in the name of Jesus, to surrender all our sins to you so that we can be cleansed, so that we can be holy, O Father, and so that we can be prepared for your coming. And it is even at the door, Father. We thank you for Safe Journey Mercy. We thank you, O Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, for providing shelter, food, clothing, O Father, especially our spiritual blessings that we receive each and every day we wake up to praise you and to glorify your name and to study your word to show ourselves approved, O kind and loving Father. Bless us again in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. You know, I'm opening this line. 518-482, your line is open.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath to one and all. Yeah, the devil is very
Amen.
Busy. And I want to sing this song for Brother Jahari. Does Jesus cares? I know he is very heartbroken at this time, so I hope this song would bring some comfort to his heart. I was a bit late, Sister Powell.
I was talking to my
nephew about the Sabbath. He was at work, so I got a little delayed here. Anyway, I'm going to sing this song for Brother Jahari. Oh, praise
Brother
the Lord,
Eli,
all ye nations.
Brother Eli.
Brother Eli, yes. Sorry. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endured forever. Praise ye the Lord. Brother Eli, this song is especially for you and all who are heartbroken.
There's Jesus here, where my heart is pinned, too deeply for mercy and soul. As the burden falls, and the cares pass, and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night's weary, I know my Savior hears.
Satan been less bread and fear? I could be like this and to be like sin, dirty care in my spirit. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my pain. When he gets really alone, like me, I know I'm so broken. Does Jesus care? I said goodbye to the dearest thing earth to me. And I said, heart aches in a tear. Is it for to him does he care? Oh, yes, he cares. My heart is starts with my grief. When the day that I nice, clearly I know my Savior cares.
Okay. Thanks, Sister Powell, for opening my line. I wanted to give a different testimony, but I had to change. Next week. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my dear sister, for singing. I know for Brother Eli. I know my Jesus care. God is so good. He cares for each one. And brothers and sisters, I just want to give God thanks for each and every one who joined and who participate, who share their praise report, their testimony. And this is what the Lord wants us to do, to testify about the goodness of God. We heard Sister Paige testimony, brothers, that you saw God so good. And that woman God sent, you have to say, it's an angel who came to rescue her, you know. And God also promised us that if we contend with him, he will contend with us. We listen to the wonderful praise report of Sister Stephanie with a joy in her heart. What took place, like she get a double portion of the blessing. You know, we also listened to Sister Carla, did her testimony despite of what she was going through with that little problems. And, you know, she was peaceful and joyful, and even the person who came to help, look at the peace that she have, a peace that passes all understanding. Oh, he listened to Brother Eli, despite he was down, right? Could get these comforting songs to comfort him and also pray that Jesus cares. Brothers and sisters, Jesus cares. And what Jesus wants to do, he wants to pour his Holy Spirit upon each one of us. He's asking us for us to draw close to him, and especially the Sabbath rest. And I will, if our speaker is on the line, we are asking you to press number one that we can open your line to speak. And we know this evening is the Sabbath rest, and I will just read a quote here from Greek Controversy 3531. We also share this about the Sabbath, that the Sabbath is the Sabbath from creation, and we all go to Exodus 20, so we understand what the true Sabbath is all about. And it said, God's voice is his handiwork. Wherever we turn, we hear the voice of God. And behold, his handiwork, from the solemn roll of the deep tone thunder and old ocean, ceaseless roar, to the glad songs that made the forest vocal with melody, nature 10,000 voices speak his praise. In heart and sea and sky, with their marvelous tint and color, varying in gracious contrast or blended in harmony, we behold his glory,
The everlasting hills tell of his power. The trees that wave their green banners in the sunshine and the flowers in their delicate beauty. And their delicate beauty point to their creator. The living green that carpet the brown earth tells of God's care for the humblest of his creatures. The caves of the sea and the depth of the earth reveal his treasure. He who placed the pearls in the ocean and the amethyst and crystal among the rock is a lover of the beautiful. The sun rising in the heaven is a representative of him who is the life and light of all that he has made. All the brightness and beauty that adorn the earth and light up the heavens speak of God. So, brothers and sisters, Great Controversy 53, paragraph 1. So we see all the beauty and we know all the things of the earth from creation. And we know God is the creator and ruler. Thank you all. And my dear brothers and sisters, we are going to ask you to get your Bible and also your pen and your tablet so that you can write down the scripture. And the next voice you will hear is the speaker, Brother Yudi. 518-409, your line is open. 518-409, your line is open. Can you check your phone? 518-409. Okay, ma'am. All right. 518-409.
All right. Thank you very much, Sister Powell, for opening up my line. My line was not open, but I'm hoping that everyone can hear me now. Want to wish you all a happy Sabbath in the Lord. And I want to thank you for joining us on this Sabbath evening on the Advent Light Ministry prayer line. So it is now 7:47. So I'm going to be going over, because the topic that I'm going to be presenting, I'm not going to be able to do it. And
7:47, your time,
right? 8:47 my time.
Okay.
8:47 Eastern. So we're going to be going over a little bit. Let us go ahead and pray. As we ask the Lord for his blessings. Father in heaven, Lord, we come before your presence on this, your holy Sabbath day of rest, divinely blessed that you have created for the purpose of rest and for the purpose of worship. We ask for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us this evening. But as we come together, Lord, we might receive of you a word in season and not out of season. Give us this day our daily bread and allow us to partake of that manna which cometh down from heaven. We have committed iniquities. We have done wickedly. We have rebelled. We ask, dear Father, that you would please clear our minds and our hearts, and that you would give us a double portion of your understanding so we may navigate these topics We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7. We're opening up at the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7, as we look into this brief topic of the investigative judgment this evening. And I'm asking that those who are on the line, if you can please mute your phones, because I can hear some noises in the background, or if the host can mute the phones of those that are on the line so that we can be able to hear and do this decently and in order. So in the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, notice what the Bible says. Daniel, the 7th chapter, as we begin tonight, we are opening up in the final hours of probation. We are seeing the beginning here of probation, or the judgment hour that has begun. We understand, as we have looked in time past on this prayer line ministry, we know that Christ's ministry is a threefold ministry. We know that Christ's ministry, to a great degree, is a threefold ministry. We see Christ, the first and foremost, upon the earth as a prophet. He came as a prophet. He prophesied of the things that would come. He prophesied of even the temple of Jerusalem being destroyed. He even prophesied of his second coming. And we also see that Christ leaves his earthly ministry in the courtyard of the sanctuary, and he ascended into the heaven, Bible says, where he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God, and he began his work thereby as a priest. We know that Christ is a priest according to the book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter. The Bible tells us that he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then we know that Christ eventually is going to take off that priestly garment. And most notable is the ephod that he wears upon his chest with the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Bible tells us, beloved, that these 12 tribes are even in the 14th chapter of Revelation, beginning at verses 1 through 5. Also in Revelation, the 7th chapter, it speaks of the 144,000, those who had an experience with Christ, those who went into the most holy place with him, those who understood what he was doing and understood his work. And as a result of understanding his work, they fell in line with that work, and they were, as it were, obedient to the principles in which God himself had given to this movement and his mercies. And we know that as he takes off this priestly robe, that he's coming back. Bible tells us he's coming back in the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter, as a king. And as he comes back as a king, the Bible tells us that he will take vengeance upon the earth. And he will not be the one who would take vengeance upon the earth, but his word is going to judge those who have neglected to follow the truth as it is in Jesus. But here we are opening up in Daniel, the 7th chapter. And notice what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 7. We are looking at Daniel's dream in Daniel, the 7th chapter, beginning in verses 1. We see the dream of Daniel of the four beasts. And here we see that as he is dreaming, Daniel shifts almost in this vision. And we see the Bible says the Ancient of Days is here reigning. So we are beginning of Daniel chapter 7, beginning at verse 9. Notice what it says in Daniel 7, verse 9. The Bible reads, I beheld, so the thrones were cast down, and note carefully, and the Ancient of Days did sit. The Ancient of Days did what? The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like what, friends? It was like pure wool. And his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. We know that there is a vision that is given also in the book of Ezekiel, where we see the wheel within the wheel, and the prophet of the Lord comments upon this scenery in the book of Ezekiel, where we see a wheel turning within the wheel, and this tells us that wheel that is turning within that wheel ultimately is the Spirit of Christ that is within those that have surrendered their lives, those that have surrendered their thoughts, those that have surrendered their action, those that have surrendered their character, essentially, are being moved from within. And as they are operating on the outside, it is not them that operates, but it is Christ which dwelleth in them. So we see the same here, wheel that is turning as a burning fire. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. The Bible says, "In a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him." So I want you to picture here that God, the Ancient of Days here, is sitting upon his throne. And the Bible says his garment is as white as snow, and his hair is as pure wool. And his throne, friends, is like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. So this is the picture that is being depicted regarding our God, which is in heaven, friends. We cannot approach him. We cannot approach him, him whose garment is as white as snow. We cannot approach him whose hair is as pure wool in any manner, because he stands then in the sight of a holy God. And friends, if we stand in the sight of the holy God without a mediator, which the time will come when this will be the case, we must be spotless. And notice what it says in verse 10. It says, "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him." Who are these that are ministering unto Christ, unto God? The Bible tells us that the ministers are the ministering angels. The Bible tells us that in the book of Hebrews. Turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews, the first chapter. And notice what the Bible says regarding these ministers. And that word minister is often used and can be used as the same word as messenger. So these messengers that are within the throne of God, these messengers that are giving him glory, these thousands of individuals that we see standing before him, we need to understand who they are. In the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, notice what the Bible says, please, if somebody can mute that phone. Hebrews, the first chapter, notice what the Bible reads here in Hebrews, the first chapter, and I want to begin at verse number 1. Hebrews, the first chapter, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible reads, God who at sundry time and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by whom? By his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. And this is talking about none other than Christ. Then it goes on to say that Christ is the brightness of his glory. In other words, Christ, meaning Christ in heaven, not Christ when he came upon the earth. Remember, he had to cover his divinity with humanity, because if it were not the case, no man could stand before him. So he had to cover, he had to veil his humanity with his divinity. But the Bible says that normally his brightness, Christ's brightness, is the express image of his person. His brightness is the express image of God. And the Bible tells us that he is upholding, friends, he is upholding all things by the word of his power. This is an interesting point, because what this tells us is that Christ did not just make the world. Amen? He was not only the creator, but the Bible tells us that he is even now maintaining his creation by what? By the word of his power. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Psalm, chapter 33. Psalm, the 33rd chapter. And notice what the Bible says in Psalm, chapter 33. Because Christ is upholding all things, friends. Did you follow me carefully? Christ is upholding
how many things? He's upholding all things. That means, friends, he is upholding your life by the word of his power. He's upholding your finances by the word of his power. He is upholding all things, friends, by the word of his power. So there's something then that must be important or significant about the word of God. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33, and notice what it says in verse number 6. Are we together? Psalm 33 and verse number 6, the Bible says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. By what? By the words of the Lord were the heaven made. And it says, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. So notice that Christ used his word to make what? The heavens and the earth. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that that same word that he spake in the beginning that created the heavens and the earth, that same word is that which he uses even today to uphold all things by the breath of his power. Verse number 9, the Bible says, for he spake and it was done, he commanded and he stood fast. So there's something significant about the word of the Lord here that is being used in Hebrews, back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that is being used here to uphold all things by that same word. He is upholding the galaxies. He's upholding the stars. This is the reason why the earth is not crashing into each other with the other planets, because God is upholding it by the word of his power. But we were looking for the ministering angels who are standing before his throne, and these ministering angels, we are told in the spirit of prophecy that they are kept from apostatizing by staring into the cross. By looking into the cross, they are able to stay faithful to God. Friends, it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 4, it says here in verse number 4, being made so much better than whom? Than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained what? A more excellent name than they. Who has obtained a more excellent name than the angels? This is none other than Christ. The Bible says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels, let all the ministers of God worship him. These angels are being likened unto ministers. But notice that these ministers have a duty, and their duty is not only to minister unto those whom God would have them minister unto, but the Bible says that they are also to do what? To worship him. This is what we see here, one of the imperatives that is given in the first angel's message of Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. We begin in the book of Daniel chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, we see the Ancient of Days sitting. The Ancient of Days is likened unto God, and God, friends, is getting ready to pass the throne over to Christ right there in Daniel chapter 10. For what purpose? For the purpose of Christ leaving not the courtyard, not the holy, but the most holy place, leaving the most holy place, entering now into the most holy place to begin a special work of judgment. And in this judgment hour, I want you to understand that right here in Daniel chapter 10, the Bible says that there is standing before him thousands upon thousands upon thousands of ministering angels. Question, what are they doing? What are these angels doing while God is judging? What are they doing as Christ is completing the work of judgment? But the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, and are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be what? Heir of salvation. So notice, friends, that these ministering angels have a work to do, a duty to fulfill, and that duty is to minister unto those who shall be heir of whom? Heir of salvation. Now, who is What is salvation? The word salvation comes from the word to be saved. And Christ is our salvation. Christ is our righteousness. So these angels are ministering unto them that would be heir of salvation, or unto us that they are ministering the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. In the book of Daniel, we go back to Daniel, the 7th chapter, verse 10. The Bible says a fiery stream is issuing, and that fiery stream is coming forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. Notice now, in 10,000 times how many? 10,000. That's 100 million. That's 100 million. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. 100 million angels are standing before God in his throne room in heaven. For what purpose? It says the judgment was set and the what? The books were open. I wonder why these angels are standing before God. I wonder why 100 million angels are standing before God with books that are open as this judgment hour is taking place. Friends, these angels are bearing the record. They are bearing the record of that which they have witnessed. They are bearing the record of that which they have heard. They are bearing the record of that which they have seen. And they are standing before God, friends, with the books open, and they are saying, on this day and on that day, I saw so-and-so do this and that. But yet they profess to be Christians. Notice what it says, friends. And the spirit of prophecy, as we open up here, in Christ and his sanctuary. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter in verse 17, we are studying the third angel's message here, but more specifically, we are focusing upon the first. I've always said, and I'll say it again and again, the foundation of the first, the foundation of the second, the foundation of the third angel's message is the first. Without an understanding, and dare I say, without a practical understanding and a practical application of the investigative judgment, friends, we cannot comprehend the second. We cannot comprehend the third. We cannot even experience the fourth angel's message. That message of the first angel, the investigative judgment, is a significant one. And there are 14 questions we must answer in understanding this message. Notice what it says in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verse number 17. 1 Peter chapter 4, notice what the Bible reads in verse number 17. The Bible says in verse number 17, it says, for the time is come, that's present, for the time is come that judgment must begin where? At the house of God. And if it be first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Notice the questions that are being posed here. Verse number 17 tells us that the time is come, meaning it is now. Notice this language. The time is come. The time is what? The time is come. In the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter, notice what the Bible says beginning at verse number 6 and 7. The Bible says in Revelation, the 14th chapter, in verses 6 and 7, the Bible reads, notice what it says. The Bible reads, and I saw, friends, this is an experience. This is something that is being witnessed. And I saw another angel, and that word angel is that word minister. Again, these ministers are not now the ministering angels, but these ministers are those who have accepted Christ, those who have fallen in line and have surrendered to the third angel's message, those who have accepted Christ as their personal Savior in true form in the real gospel message. These are they that is being spoken of here. And I saw, the prophet is seeing in vision, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Now notice this gospel. This is not just any kind of a gospel, but it is a specific gospel. In verse number 7, the Bible says that this gospel says, fear God. Notice, and give what? And give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Same language that we saw in 1 Peter chapter 4. For the time is come, for the time is come that judgment must begin where? At the house of God. The first angel says, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. We are reading from the book Christ and His Sanctuary. It says, in the typical service, only those who had come before God with confession and repentance. Notice, only those who had come before God with what? Confession and repentance. Question, what is confession and what is repentance? What is confession and what is repentance? Because there are many who get those two confused. And dare I say, there are many who have not truly experienced repentance. But what they do is, by and by, then they confess. Now, there's nothing wrong with confess, because the Bible tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Write it down, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 stops at confession, does it not? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. No, it does not stop at confession. It begins at confession, but it goes on to say that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Forgiveness comes as a result of confession, but it doesn't stop there. But he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of how much? All unrighteousness. So we see a type of the cleansing then happening in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We are seeing to view that is being brought forth to light here the work that is being done within the most holy place. Because what Christ is doing is not just dealing with confession. No, he is dealing with cleansing. He is dealing with cleansing. Confession and cleansing are two separate things. And yea, though they are two separate things, if we understand salvation in the proper manner, we will understand that one happens and the other must follow. Okay, Brother Udi, what do you mean? I'm going to make it clearer for you. Go to the book of Proverbs. Go to the book of Proverbs and notice what the Bible says. We're going to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. Book of Proverbs, chapter 28. And notice what the Bible says in Proverbs, chapter 28. And we're going to verse number 13. Proverbs, chapter 28. And notice what the Bible reads in verse number 13. The Bible reads, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. So notice that there is a combination of confession and a repentance. Repentance is a 180-degree turn. You know, when you take a 180-degree turn, if you're going to a place, and as you're walking to that place and you begin to realize that you are going in the wrong direction, what do you do? Well, you make a turn. You don't make a 360 turn, because a 360 turn pulls you right back to where you were going. But rather, you make a 180 turn, and you begin to go in the opposite direction. So the word confession deals with an understanding, deals with a conviction that we have, that we have sinned. The Bible says we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is an interesting thing, because the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter and verse number 7, that that this angel is crying out, fear God and give glory to him. So then how can we give glory to God if we have come short of the glory of God? We need to understand this point, my friends, and this is where the sanctuary comes into place. And so this confession has to follow repentance. Repentance includes sorrow for sin. Repentance includes a turning away from it. So we do not confess and go back to the same sins, but rather we confess and forsake it. Notice what the Bible says again for the sake of context this evening. In the book of Proverbs, the 20th chapter and verse 13, I read again in your hearing. It says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins, mercy, shall not prosper. So if we are covering our sins, we will not prosper. How do we cover our sins? Friends, can we cover sins from Christ? Have mercy. Can we cover our sins from Christ when we have ministering angels? How many? 100 million angels. 100 million angels that are standing before the throne of God, they have recorded what you have done. They have recorded what you have said. They have recorded what you have seen. They have recorded everything. And yet we think that we can cover our sins when these angels have a perfect record in keeping track, friends. They are the silent witnesses in our homes. What have they seen in thine house? The scripture says, what have they seen you do at your job? The scripture says, what have they seen that you have done in private? These angels are witnesses of what we have done. And so we cannot continue to confess without forsaking. Because according to the book of Proverbs, those who confess merely are not going to have mercy. But it is those that have confessed, one, and forsake two that shall have mercy. And so we are back in the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter. Revelation, the 14th chapter, in verse number 7. Bible says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come. What is this business of giving glory to God? Notice what it says in the book, manuscript releases, 1890. It says, to give glory to God is to reveal his character in our own. I'll repeat. What does it mean to give glory to God? Now, I went to a funeral. I love using this story. I went to a funeral, and it was actually Sister Powell's brother's funeral, and nothing against Sister Powell's brother, but she knows I've said this many times. And the brother was, I believe, from the Church of God or one of those Sunday churches. Okay, there are many good brethren in those churches. We know that God is going to do a mighty work, so I'm not saying this to put anybody on blast. But I'd never seen this, but the pastor, as he was preaching, he said in the funeral, give glory to God. And everyone in the assembly stood up and began to clap and say, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, my friend. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with giving glory to God that way, in that manner. But what Christ is looking at is not what we say with our mouths, but it's whether or not our hearts are in line with what we say. In other words, friends, we can say glory to God with our mouths all we want, but what does our character say? This is that which Christ is looking at in this judgment hour. He is looking at the motive of our actions. Why do we do what we do? Are we doing what we do because we are doing it from a true heart? Or are we doing what we do because there is something in it for us? What is the motive of our action? What is the motive of that which we do? And so it says in manuscript releases, page 16, 1890, to give glory to God is to reveal his character in our own, and thus make him known. So notice, friends, that to give glory to God is to do what? Is to make God known. Friends, how can we make God known? How can we make God known? We cannot make God known by merely passing out some tracts. We can make God known by showing God
and us have been communion together. Are you following me, friends? We make God known to others by showing that we have had a change of heart. We make God known unto others by showing that we have had an experience, and as a result, we are changing from glory to glory, even as by the image of the Lord. So we go to the book of 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Notice what the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, we're looking at the first angel's message, specifically here, giving glory to God. The book of 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Are we going? Are we going there? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible reads in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I begin in your hearing, verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, notice what it says in beginning at verse number 17. It says in verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, we are beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. Are you following this, my friends? We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, what are we holding? Underscore, the glory of God. So we are to what? We are to behold the glory of God. We are not to behold the glory of man, the character of man, but we are to behold the glory of God. How do we do this? How do we behold the glory of God? Do we just buy a picture and we say, okay, this picture is God, let me behold him? No, friends. We behold God's glory by studying his word. We behold God's glory and interacting and spending time with him. We behold his glory by spending time in nature, looking at the magnificent things that he has put in place. And by the way, friends, you know, Moses, a man that God that was after God's own heart, who had been raised up in the Egyptian culture. And though he was raised up in that culture, he received a thorough education from the year 0 to 12, his character was fully built, and he was sent into the Egyptians' courts in order that he might be educated of them. And friends, we know that Moses received a thorough education. The Bible tells us that in the book of Acts chapter 7, verse 22. Bible said he was learned in all manner of things. He was skillful in everything, and he was getting ready to be the next king of Egypt. And friends, when God took Moses at 40 years old, after one generation, when God took Moses, he placed him in the country. He placed him in his father-in-law, Jethro's home, to begin to look after sheep. And the Bible says that Moses' character before this was very coarse. His character was rough on the edges. In fact, he even killed an Egyptian, thinking that God, by his own hand and his own might, was going to deliver his people. And God shipped him into the wilderness for 40 years, training him after the keeping of sheep. And the Bible says that Moses' character had changed, and at the end of this additional 40 years that he spent in his life in the wilderness, being retrained by God, that he was so meek, even meeker than any man upon the earth. So Moses had now reflected the glory of God. In fact, when he went up into the mount, remember that, he went up into the mount, the Bible says that he beheld God's glory. In fact, he asked God in the book of Genesis chapter, in the book of Exodus chapter 33 and 34, he said, show me your glory. We are told that God revealed his character unto Moses, and Moses could not behold that sight. He could not behold the glory of God. He had to turn his face, and even as he had that experience on the mount with God, and as he came down upon the earth, he had to put a covering over his face, because the children of Israel could not behold his glory. They could not behold his face because of the shyness of it as a result of the time that he had spent with God in the mount. Friends, how much time are you spending with God in the mount in the morning? How much time are you spending with God and studying his word? If you want to behold his glory, if you want to stand true to him with the 144 and 4,000, you must behold his glory. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, I beg your pardon.
It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass. That glass that we are beholding is symbolized as God's law in the book of James chapter 1, James chapter 2. It talks about the law of God, this mirror, this thorough mirror that reflects the image of God to us, that shows us our character. We have to spend time in our personal prayer closet asking God to reveal to us the defects that is still in our character, because, friends, we cannot resemble his glory while we are holding on to one defect in our characters. And so this glory has to be resembled. This glory has to be fully seen in our lives. Lord, have mercy upon us. As in a glass, they are beholding the glory of the Lord, and they are changed into what? The same image. The word image can be utilized to write the word imagination. Now, let's go with this now. The image of God is reflected in our imagination. In other words, friends, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, when God destroyed the men and women in the days of Noah, what did he say in Genesis chapter 6? Notice what it says. Notice what it says in Genesis chapter 6, what he said regarding the image of God that had been destroyed. And so our job, the duty that we have, the purpose of this message, the purpose of the third angel's message, the purpose of the health message, the dress reform message, it is to reflect, it is to reimburse, if you will, God's image in man. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter, Genesis chapter 6. We're getting ready to come to a close here. Genesis chapter 6, and notice what the Bible says regarding this condition, the corruption of mankind. The Bible reads in Genesis, the sixth chapter, beginning at verse number 3. Are we together? The Bible says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination," are you following? "Every imagination," image, "every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually." Pause. So the image of God needs to be restored in us, but it must begin where? In the mind. It must begin in the mind, friends. It must begin with our thoughts. What are we pondering on a daily basis? What are we watching? What are we listening to? These are the avenues of the soul: our touch, our taste, our eyes, our ears. These are the ways by which we are defiled. These are the things that are developing a certain character in us, whether it is by and by a Christ's character or by and by the Satan's character. So this imagination issue is something that must be dealt with. And the Bible gives a great weapon in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3 and 4. It talks about the weapons of our warfare. They are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, pulling down the strongholds, casting down the imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So Christ is in the most holy place, judging and inspecting our imagination. He's not necessarily looking at our actions, because again, we can have an action that doesn't match our thoughts. Are you following? Okay, I'll give you an example. When Jesus says, "I heard in time of old that it was said that if you sleep with a woman, you have committed adultery with that woman." But Christ went further. He said, "No, but I tell you, if you look upon a woman to lust after her in your heart, you have already committed adultery with her." You see that? So Christ attacked what? The mind, the image, the imagination. He attacked the imagination. These are the things that he is looking to in this judgment hour. These are the things that he is assessing, that he is investigating, and he knows our heart because God looks, God judged not according to the way the men judge, because men sees the outward appearance, but God sees what? Sees the hearts. He sees the hearts, friends, the human heart, the books of record in heaven in which the names and deeds of men are registered are to determine the decisions of the judgment. Says Daniel, the judgment is set and the books were opened. The book of life contains the names of all who have ever entered the service of God. Jesus bade his disciple rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Paul speaks of his faithful followers whose name are in the book of life. Daniel, looking down to a time of trouble such as never was, declares that God's people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. A book of remembrance is written before God, in which are recorded the good deeds of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. That's found in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 16. Their words of faith, their acts of love are registered in heaven. Nehemiah refers to this when he says, remember me, O God, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God. Nehemiah 13, 14. In the book of God's remembrance, every deed of righteousness is immortalized. There, every temptation resisted is written. Every evil that we have overcome, every word of tender pity that we have expressed is faithfully chronicled. And every act of sacrifice, every suffering and sorrow endured for Christ's sake, can we find in the book that is recorded, the book of remembrance, can we find a sacrifice that you have committed? Can we find an evil that you have overcome? Can we find temptations that you have resisted? Can we faithfully find these things, and are they chronicled in the book of life? Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Psalm 56, verse 8. There is a record also of the sins of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, every idle word that men shall speak. They shall give an account thereof in the judgment. My friends, this is a scary thought. Every time you spoke an idle word, how old are you? Go back. I'm 40. Go back. If you're 80, 60, every idle word that you spoke, you have to give an account for, friends. And so when we are talking about random and regular things throughout the day, and we are not uplifting the name of God, we are not speaking of Christ, these words are recorded. These 100 million plus angels have written them in the books of heaven. Every idle word is there recorded, because God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Every idle word that men shall speak, they will give an account of it. Says the Savior, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The secret purposes and motives appear in unerring register, for God will bring the light, will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will manifest the counsels of the heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. So the secrets will be revealed. The thoughts that we have had will be revealed. The motives will be revealed. They will appear in their true light, because God will bring to light all of the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of our heart. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Behold, it is written before me, your iniquities are written. The iniquities of your fathers are written. The iniquities of your mother are written. Every man's work will pass in review before God and is registered for faithfulness or for unfaithfulness. Opposite each name in the books of heaven is entered with terrible exactness every wrong word that we spoke, every selfish act that we've committed, every unfulfilled duty that we did not fulfill, and every secret sin is written therein. With every artful dissembling, heaven sent warnings and reproofs, friends, must not be neglected. Even the neglect of what even the heaven sent warnings or reproofs are written, are wasted moments. One of the things I read the other day, it says that time is a great talent that God has given, and that we will have to give an account for every second of our time that we have wasted. We will have to give an account, friends. Every wasted moment is recorded. Every unimproved opportunity is written there. The influence that we exert, whether for good or for evil, is written there with its far-reaching results. And all are chronicled by the recording angels. Friends, as we look at the judgment hour, I will continue by the grace of God next week. As we look at the judgment hour, and we are beginning to understand more fully on Advent Light Ministry what this thing is about. For many years, we have heard people recite the first, the second angel's message, but it has never been broken down in detail for us to understand the gravity of it all. Friends, as we endeavor to do this, are you ready to say right now with what you have heard that you are ready for these books to be closed? Are you ready to say, based upon what you have heard, that you are ready for probation to close, that you are ready for Christ to come? Friends, is it your desire to be ready? Now, these things were not said for you to be afraid of what is coming, because we have an anchor that keeps our soul, friends. We have a Savior that we can look to. Oh, friends, if we were to look to ourselves in the judgment hour, we would be lost. If we were to look to ourselves, how depressing would be our situation, how depressing would be our case. If we were to look to our good deeds, oh, have mercy upon us, for our righteousness is as filthy rags. But friends, I point you to the cross. I point you to heaven. I point you to looking at your life, as I did this morning, spending that special hour each day meditating upon the life of Christ, especially the closing scenes. The prophet says that when we begin to do this, our confidence in him will be more constant. We shall be imbued with the Spirit of God. We must look to the cross of Calvary. We must look to Christ, because it is he that can take our sins away. It is he that can cause us to forsake the evil in our ways, our cultivated tendencies to do wrong, our hereditary, the things that we have learned from our parents, the things that are in our DNA, the evil, the pride, the selfishness, the sensualism, these things that we have received that are in our blood. Friends, Christ can give us the victory. As we behold him, we can become changed. Is it your desire for this evening to begin to truly study this investigative judgment thing, friends? I'm telling you, this is the foundation of the third angel's message. This is the foundation of the third angel's message. And if we do not have a strong foundation, everything else that we build upon, that foundation, will be swept away as a house that is built upon the sand. Father in heaven, we thank you for your message. We thank you for the light that cometh down from heaven. We ask that you will help us, Lord, for we have received your word, and we have note that we are broken. We are in need of an experience. We are in need of repentance. We are backsliding. The angels are growing weary. But Christ raises up his hand in heaven and cries to his Father, "My blood, my blood, my blood, my blood." And out of mercy, you have put a hold on the winds of strife so that we can be ready
to stand true to God without a mediator. Help us, Father, for we cannot help ourselves. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we are on the line tonight and we have got the message. We heard the message. And we are asking our stern brother who are here, if you were in touch and we see our needs, right? You can take off your line, yourself off the line and press 1 again if you would like prayer, right? That, you know, brother, you would hear, you have a question, yes, you don't understand, then you can just take off yourself and press 1 again. Brothers and sisters, this is the time. Now is not the time for us to be playing around. This is a serious, it's very serious. We heard the requests and the report, what God Christ is doing in the sanctuary. And, you know, the time is winding up, and this is the time for us fully, as we confess and surrender everything to him. You know, he promised us that he will pour the Spirit upon each and every one of us if we be obedient. So we just want to thank Brother Yudi for that reminding, refreshing, you know, message tonight. And I know each one of us was touched by it. So I just want to give God thanks. And if you guys need, you can pick up yourself and we will have a word of prayer. You want us to pray for you. If you are not sure where you stand and you need some information, you can take off yourself and press 1. I just want to give God thanks and praise, and I will offer another word of prayer. Father in heaven, tonight, Lord, you have given us the word. We are asking you, Father, to touch each heart here. Help us, Lord, that we will see our needs. If there is no time we have no time to waste. So we are asking you for that strength and that power. Lord, you promise your children that you will lighten our face with the glory of God. Just the glory that was poured out upon Moses, Lord, we have seen it. And we have read it, dear Lord. And you want to place that upon us, the glory of God that was poured out upon the children and the apostles so that they could present the message in one accord. And this message go out the word. The glory of God for your servants, they are filled. Well, Moses, Lord, we have seen what took place with him. So tonight, dear Father, help each one of us that we will be mindful to continue to search the scripture, continue to pray, continue to trust you and to depend upon you. Just as though we heard this evening with praises and testimony of the goodness of God, what you have done for your children. Lord, we have seen you manifest your love towards them. And I know, dear Lord, in your word you said that you will, if we contend with you, you will contend with us. And there is nothing too impossible for you to do. So tonight, dear Lord, we just want to thank you. Bless each heart here and keep us so that we will be fully be converted so that we will be fully to be obedient to your command, Lord, that you have given unto us. So we just want to thank you again. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Yes, brothers and sisters, we just want to give God the praise tonight for this wonderful message and the scripture passages. And I do hope that every one of us took those passages that we can go back in the Bible and the Word and that we can refresh our mind, rejuvenate our life so that we will be able to present the character in every way, the character of Jesus Christ. So thank you again for joining, and have a good night. All right? Okay. I'm trying to get this song and I can't get it. Okay. All right. Good night, brothers and sisters. I'm trying here to pick up this song and I can't get it. Immortal. Okay. All right, brothers and sisters. Good night. I wanted to play this song, but I'm trying and I can't get it. Immortal. Invisible. So somebody can let me in with that song, Invisible, to close. I'm trying to open my iPod and I'm not getting it. All right, brothers and sisters, good night. Have a blessed night. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Praise God. Wow, the thing shut me out here. I am closed out. All right, good night.